It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like, out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Thank you so much for joining me again on the Amber May Show. I just want to let you know, if you would like to visit my website at theambermayshow.com, and while you're there, if you could just go on to my survey page, take a quick few seconds and fill out the surveys just so I know some information about you, because I can't see you and I know you can hear me, and I see you guys all the time visiting the website. It's great and I appreciate you guys. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, you can write me at P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona 85385. That's P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona 85385. Also, while you're on the website, hit me up. Email me. You can email me right there on the contact page. And if you believe in what I'm doing and want to support the show, you can always do that by going to the donation page. But today joining me is Meredith Seaborn. So I'd like to welcome Meredith to the program. So having God as number one, are you trying to let us know that if we follow the way God has for us by honoring our husband, by being maybe that Proverbs 31 woman, where you might where she's honorable, mm-hmm. and she's a good worker and she takes care of her home, where she's following the model that God has for her, then the reward of following and obeying God is just going to manifest in our life, where we're going to have more peace and joy in our homes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think also just being aware of his word and what his word teaches us and what his word shares with us. Sometimes we find ourselves with young children to have long seasons where we don't even know, we haven't seen our Bible in a long time. So just having that understanding of who he is and his character and his faithfulness, and those moments later as we share about being a good godly wife or a godly mother, when you're pressed and you're stressed, you can lean back on those truths that you have knit in, with inside of you.
I could also attest to, if we do put God number one, and we realize that God is our father, just like we have earthly fathers, when we come in those times of need, when money's short or car breaks down or whatever, we don't have to necessarily just think, how can I do it? How can I overcome it? We can take that to God and say, God, this is the need I have in my life right now. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know you're going to work it out for me. Because you as a mother and your husband as a father, would you ever let your kids go starving? Wouldn't you try everything you could do to take care of them? So if you can do that, isn't God even more than that?
Yes, absolutely. I think he knows and he hears our cries and he hears our hearts and he knows our deepest sorrows and our struggles, and he knows our joys and our praises. He knows what we desire and what we want for our children. We want them to have food. We want them to have a beautiful clothes and toys that they can play with and all the beautiful things that our world has for us. And so I think we can do that by going to him in prayer. I think that is a significant step of how you make, practically, how do you make God the priority of your life? You have to go to the Lord in prayer. Mm-hmm. You have to go to the Lord just as you are. And maybe that means, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how you're going to provide this time, but I know that you're faithful and I know that you will. And so if you petition him and pray to him and say, Lord, this is what we need right now. I feel certain that the Lord will provide for you in his time and in his way. It may not look like what you think. It may not come from the avenue you thought it would come, but I know that the Lord will sustain you and provide for you if you put your trust in him. Also through scripture, I think that if we go to the word, and that's where he it's a gift that he's given us, the Holy Bible that has all the scriptures and things that he wants for us to hear. If we meditate on those things, and I know as a mom of three, I don't know that I can wake up at 5 a.m. to just read chapters and chapters of the Bible, but I know that I have the word and I have technology. I have a phone that can read scripture to me. Sometimes I have to do it driving down the road. sometimes I have to turn to scripture and walk myself in the bathroom for a minute. And just so I have some time alone to think, what would the Lord say about this? Or even if it's just a refocusing of my heart, maybe it's the Lord doesn't have an answer specifically in his word for my specific situation, but sometimes it's just the attitude of my heart turning towards him, saying, Lord, I believe you, and I know you're faithful, and this is your word, and you are true and holy and perfect. And so if I turn to you, then I know that you will hear me and you'll see me. Lord, I also know that we have to be in fellowship. We need friends. We need community. And we need to be involved in a church or in a fellowship of believers of some kind that can lift us up, because we can't do this journey alone. And you didn't call us to be alone. You called us to be a part of your body. And so it's so significant and so important that we take the time to invest in a community, invest in a body of believers that can lift me up in the time when it just doesn't seem like I can see the answer. I don't know how the Lord's going to provide my next paycheck, but I know that I can come around when I'm doubting with my friends and church family, that they will lift me up to you when I don't know that I can. Or when things, even terrible things happen to us, Lord, you allow things happen in our lives that we can't explain. But I know that you put us in a body of believers so that we can encourage each other, so that we can lift each other up, hold each other up. And also, Lord, on the other side, that we have a God that wants to praise and celebrate with us. And so when we get the precious news that, oh, we're expecting again, that we have that church family to go to and celebrate the life that you've given.
For those of you just joining us, we are talking to Meredith Seaborn, and we're going through what the family looks like, how God set up the family, and why he set up the family the way he did. Meredith has told us that priority one needs to be God. Always and foremost, God is the head of our life, and without him we can do nothing. That's what scripture tells us.
Yes, and so I think that when we have the Lord at the front of our life, and it's priority number one, and I spend so much time sharing with you because it is so significant, and there's so many ways in which you can live that out. It can look so different in everyone's life, but prayer and the word of God, and fellowship with people, I think fellowship in the community of God, those are significant for you to have in place in your life, so you have that set. So that as we talk about priority number two, what does it mean to be the godly wife? And how does it mean to keep your husband as your second priority?
I'm glad you said that, because if you're a mother, a lot of times you think your second priority is your children because they're so young and they need you so much. But this, I'm so grateful that you are talking about this, because this is huge. And I think it can change lives big time. Maybe if there's a marriage in trouble right now, or, you know, to prepare early parents for life so that they avoid a lot of problems. I'm so thankful that you're talking about this. So explain more about priority two and why our husbands are second priority.
Yes, I believe, well, let's just start with scripture. Since we said priority one was the Lord and his word, it says an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is his rottenness of his bones. And that's Proverbs 12:4. And I believe that's true because it's in God's word. And I believe that the Bible is perfect in its entirety. So I come from the idea, or the theology, for those of you who are theology buffs, know that I think of complementarian theology, which means that women and men have different roles within the marriage, but they're equal in value. So a woman is equal in her value to her husband, but she plays a very specific role. And so one of her roles is to be that partner, that helper to her husband. And so if he is not at the top of her priorities, then she's not fulfilling the role that God has ordained for her in his creation. So God has asked us to love our husbands as he's loved us, unconditionally, with no strings attached. And I think that that can be a challenge. I think that can be a challenge for different marriages. I think people's marriages look different. They have, maybe you're a different age than your husband. Maybe your husband has a, we all have different pasts. We're all different people. So
different cultural backgrounds.
Different culture. Different cultural backgrounds. You may be, or you can't compare yourself from one couple to the next because your culture may be different than that culture.
And also, some people come from different religion backgrounds, you know. Maybe they're the same religion now, but at one time they were big. And, I mean, that has to play a role somewhere.
Absolutely. I think all those differences you have to take into effect. But ultimately, again, we'll lay them down at the feet of the cross and say, Lord, you've given me this man. And you've ordained this marriage for me. And so here I am. And this is the place you have for me. And so as I see that scripture defines the role of a wife is that she's to be his helper. And so that doesn't mean that she's less or not important or significant or not to be seen. But I think that he calls us to love our husbands.
Can I pause for a minute? Because I like what you're saying and I love that scripture.
Sure.
About an excellent wife as a crown to her husband. Now, I want you to think about being in public and seeing a couple. And we've all seen the wives that belittle their husbands or throw an attitude with their husbands or make their husbands look insignificant. And that makes everyone, A, uncomfortable, and B, it makes you not want to respect him as much. Because people look to the wife to see if she respects the husband. And if she respects the husband, other people automatically respect him because his wife respects him. If your own wife doesn't respect you, why should I respect you? That's what society thinks. That's what society looks at when you see those couples. You don't treat that husband the same way you would if you had an honorable woman who respects her husband. Now, that doesn't say that she always agrees with everything he does, but there's a time and a place to address all those things if you disagree with your husband. But in public, when you're out and about, when you honor your spouse as a wife, other people are going to look to you and say, oh, this man must be an honorable person. If his wife respects him, I should respect him. That's just what I've seen in society. What do you think about that?
Sure. I think God's called us to two things within our role, and that is to respect our husbands and to revere him. And so a few ways that we can respect our husbands is to accept him just the way he is. So sometimes when we're in public and he does things and you go, oh, no, why did he say that? Or why did he do that? Because that seems so embarrassing. Or maybe it was just flat out disrespectful. Like, I'm not really sure. But we have to accept our husbands just the way he is and not try to change him. So I think we show a lot of respect to our husbands when we just say, look, you know, I love you just how you are, just how you were when I met you and where I married you. And yes, of course, we want our husbands to grow and develop as men, but we're not putting that pressure on them to change. But we should start by accepting them and understand that they fall short of the glory of God, just like we do. Sometimes I also feel like a lot of respect, how to respect your husband, comes from my own self-evaluation. I have to think, you know, what am I doing? What pressures am I putting on him that is causing his behavior or causing him to feel this way or act this way? Sometimes it's because of my past and my shortcomings or strongholds that make him kind of go crazy sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. If I'm, you know, have expectations that he's going to come home and he's going to play with the kids and help with homework and help me get him bathed and put him to bed and do all these things after he's had a long day of work. You know, I think some of those things can be reasonable, but, you know, just depending on what he's done that day, sometimes I feel like it's my pressures and it's my values that I'm pushing upon him.
This isn't the end of the series. Please join us next week to hear the continuation of Meredith and her sharing with us what she has learned with dealing with family. Remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else. Because eventually, number two will look out for you.